During the Advent season, we had looked at some key words, names, monikers from John chapter 1 that speak of what God did for us in Christ. And so we had reflected on the Word, the Light, the Lamb, and the Dove. This morning, there's another exciting word, and it is the Messiah. Our text today is John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 35 to 42, and I've entitled the sermon, The Messiah, God's Anointed One. The Messiah, God's Anointed One. So here we are, John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now that when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. So, on this Epiphany Sunday, let's think about Messiah in the following ways. I want to think about finding the Messiah, about telling others about finding the Messiah, and then about bringing individuals to the Messiah. So that first one, it's pretty simple, pretty basic here. Finding the Messiah. And by the way, the word Messiah literally means the anointed one or the chosen one. Jesus is the one whom God chose to redeem people. Jesus is the one that God chose and anointed to save people from their sins. Now, in Acts chapter 10, we find this really coming out as Peter is proclaiming the good news of the gospel for all people. This is one of these passages in Scripture here. You know, you're watching Jeopardy, and all at once there is a news flash. The game show's gone, and there's breaking news. That's right. There was something significant happening at that point in time in terms of the Holy Spirit falling on the Gentiles as well as the Jews. But notice what is said here in Acts 10, 34 to 38. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Did you get that? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Then Peter went on to point out how this one that was anointed by God was killed, as he put it, on a tree. And this one who was killed on a tree was dead. He was crucified, he was buried, but God raised him up on the third day. And then in verse 43, he said to him, that is, to Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So, in our text this morning, we have two guys that are tagging after Jesus. They're wanting something. They're looking for something. They are apparently sensing that there is something that is unique about Jesus. They wanted to know where Jesus was staying, and he told them, come and see. And they did that, and they stayed with him for the day, and that encounter convinced them. It convinced them of something very important, very significant. So they declared in verse 41, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Now, years ago, I went through a time of seeking. I was in my, about 1920, in that time frame. And I realized that there was something missing in my life. I did not have an inner peace. Realized that there was something more to be had. And I began wondering, what would happen to me if I were to die? And one day, I did this. Whoop. I opened the Bible at random. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's a helpful way of Bible study, but this is my testimony, okay? I opened the Bible at random, and the pages fell open to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I read these verses. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Okay? That really spoke to me. Those words spoke to me. And I'm so grateful for the outworking of that scripture, for the reality of those words that penetrated my heart and set me on more of a search yet than I had already been engaged in. And so, after some seeking, praise the Lord, I did find him. He became my Savior. And yes, I ended up with an inner peace that I had not experienced before, and a joy that it was there on the inside. In fact, one day, someone that I was working close by said, Bob, how is it that you seem to be so happy all the time? And, that's, interesting. It sort of caught me off guard. But have you found the Messiah? Have you been wise men and women in that you have diligently sought after the Lord? If not, I urge you to do so today, because you know what? There is more to life than money, than a career, than a trophy, than any of this stuff, because it's about Jesus. So, we've talked about finding the Messiah. Let's move on now to a second emphasis that emerges from our text, and it has to do with telling others about finding the Messiah. Notice again what was going on in verses 40 and 41. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. Now, have we told others that we have found the Messiah? You know, we talk about different things. We talk about food, don't we? You know, one time Diane and I were in the Streetsboro area, and we stopped by at a Brown Derby. And I want to tell you, it was some of the best pulled pork and french fries and salad and... Oh, I had black coffee too, you know. And if you're up there sometime, well, we talk about food, don't we? Or we talk about cars. That's right. In fact, we were just in the car the other day, Diane and I was reminiscing. It's been, what, 7 years this January that I bought this Camry. And I praise God. It's been a reliable form of transportation. And you know, if you were ever needing to look for another car, you really ought to consider, well, we talk about cars, don't we? Or we talk about movies. Did you know that I got Diane a DVD for Christmas? I did. It was had the first 11 episodes of Sue Thomas FBI on it. And so on New Year's Day, we watched the first segment, which was actually the pilot for that TV series. And, well, it was really good. And you know, given the fact that Sue Thomas grew up in Boardman and given the fact that, you know, she was deaf and did get a job with the FBI because of her lip reading, and given the fact that she is scheduled to be right here on Sunday evening, April 15, you really ought to, well, do you see what I'm saying? We talk about food, we talk about cars, we talk about movies. But have we told anyone about finding the Messiah? In Mark chapter 5, we read about a man that was demon-possessed. He was living out among the tombs, and he was so strong and so violent that he couldn't be contained. I mean, they tried. People tried to bind him with shackles and chains, but he would pull it all apart, breaking it in pieces. It was quite a phenomena. Now, in verse 8 of that passage, where are we here? It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 8. It says that Jesus said to this one possessed of the devil, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." The demons did that. They left him. They entered into a herd of swine. The pigs went hog wild and went down over the bank and drowned. Now, we pick up with the story in verses 18 to 20, and it says, when he got into the boat, that's capital H, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, you and I may not have been demon-possessed in the sense that this individual was, but if we have truly found the Messiah and have come to know Jesus as Savior, then we know what it's like to experience compassion from the Lord. Do we not? We too have experienced the Lord doing great things for us. Well, finding the Messiah, telling others about the Messiah. The third emphasis has to do with bringing individuals to the Messiah. So what did Andrew do, according to our text? In verse 41, it says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ. First part of verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Found his brother, brought him to Jesus. Now, we take people to specific places to get help at times, do we not? When someone in our family is sick, we take them to the doctor. Diane and I have done that for each other during that chapter of life when I needed those injections because of my bulging disc. You know, Diane would take me to the Southwoods Pain Clinic because I needed a ride home with the anesthesia and all of that. So you may have helped someone by taking them to some agency or to some doctor or to some specialist or to some professional or to some office. In Mark chapter 2, we have an amazing account of a person being brought to Jesus. with the expectation of that individual receiving help. And so, let's see what it says here. Mark chapter 2. Again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days it was heard he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even here, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now, this account is powerful. It's powerful in that it shows that Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, and he did have the power to heal. But not only that, it shows that Jesus, the Messiah, had the authority to forgive sin. And that, in fact, is what we're about to celebrate. As we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, we are recognizing and acknowledging that Jesus came into this world not just as another human being. Jesus came as the Messiah. And forgiveness of sins is possible because of who he is and what he has accomplished through his death and resurrection. It's a hallelujah kind of thing, without a doubt. Now, the account of the paralytic being brought to Jesus is powerful in another sense. It's powerful in that it is a picture here of someone or a group of someone's bringing an individual to Jesus. Those four men that carried that bed and lowered the bed with the paralytic on it through the roof were not engaging in some kind of publicity stunt. This was not a marketing scheme during the Super Bowl. This was faith in action. This was people convinced that Jesus could make a difference for their friend. And it begs a question I'm asking myself: how convinced are we that the Messiah can meet needs? How convinced are we that there is healing and hope available through Jesus? How should we be reaching out as individuals and as a church? And what does it mean to reach out in ways that some might consider a bit unusual, a bit unorthodox, or even a bit risky? What does it mean? Well, we might not have the answer to all of those questions, but I think we've got the answer to something quite significant, though, and that is that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is the Christ. And that's why we're here today, And that's why we're going to be celebrating today. And that's why we can have communion. It's about Him. Lord, we are amazed again and again as we read accounts in the scriptures of You at work. We're amazed, Lord, that we can be a part of that. We're amazed, Lord, that You have called us and not only to be Your disciples, but to be in service for You. May Your Spirit continue to be at work, even as we respond to You in song. And continue our service and our celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.